But I want to do something today. I want to compare our Christian service to military service. It was 61 years ago next week that I left home on June 11th to join the Navy. It's a little over a week. June 13th, I was up in Indianapolis, took the oath, and became a full-fledged Navy recruit, seaman recruit, shipped off to boot camp. You learn a lot in boot camp, but in military service, the object is to get recognition and grow, because you get promotions, you make more money. You come in as a seaman recruit. That's the bottom of the list. You make just a few dollars a month. You're in boot camp, so you have no needs. And then you get out of boot camp, and you're promoted to seaman. And then you go to school. And I'm telling you what happened to me. I went to a school back up at Great Lakes after I got out of boot camp. And probably 9 months, and was a seaman there. And seaman recruit, seaman apprentice, and then I became a full-fledged seaman and got shipped to a ship in New York. And New York, I was there, and I was on it for 3 years. After a while, I made third-class petty officer. I was a radarman, and we did faithful service and was recognized and promoted. And then my last year, I was just about ready to get out of the Navy, and I made petty officer second class. That's E5, enlisted men, fifth level up. But you had to have 1 year left to accept it. So I was supposed to have gotten out in April of 1966, but I had to extend to December of 1966 so I would have my full year in. And I had somewhat thought about making a career out of it. I mean, I moved up. The military goes through. Sometimes you can just scoot right up like I did from zero to E5. Most guys in a term, one term, never make E5. I'm not patting myself on the back. I just happened to be there at the right time, the right place, and made it. But in military, you're obedient, and you want your obedience and everything to be known, because that's where you get your promotions. And during a lot of times in the war, people that are really faithful, courageous, will go from being an enlisted person to an officer, and so on, and build a really good thing. Well, the Christian life is very similar to that. And the title of my message this morning is The Other Disciple. And you could say the other brother, the other disciple, talking about others. John chapter 18, verse 16. John 18:16 says, "But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter." So we see that this other disciple had an elevated position. He was already on the inside, and Peter was on the outside. But the other disciple was able to go to the door and get permission for Peter to come on in where they were persecuting and questioning everything to Christ. And we need to think about the other disciple. We're all about the same, I would imagine. We like spatial recognition if we do something spatial. We like to be recognized by people, maybe in the ministry as I travel. Every once in a while, a preacher that I hold in high esteem will come up and say, "Well, hi, Brother Joe, how are you?" And I say, "I didn't even know you knew who I was," and so on. But we sort of, it builds our ego a little bit and things like that. Right. And the bottom line is, we're all the other disciple. We need to be a John the Baptist. He must, in John 3:30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And in church service, whether you're leading the singing, teaching a class, driving a bus, whether you're a deacon, whether you're an usher, or whether you just come in here and fill the pulpit, we must decrease. Christ must increase. And in your life, until you learn what it means to let Christ increase, not in other people's lives, but in your life, increase. He must increase, but I must decrease. We do not serve God for personal recognition, or we should not serve for personal recognition. We ought to do what we do it humbly, do it quietly, do it faithfully, do it complete. Pastor had a sermon on the radio this morning. I heard a good portion of it. And we need to do that. Matthew 6:11, and there's quite a few verses here. I'm going to read them all. Matthew 6, beginning verse 1 through verse 8. "Take heed that you do not your alms." Now, I looked up the meaning of alms is acts and deeds of mercy. Make sure that you do your alms. In other words, do good, but let's see what we do with it when we do it. "Do it before men, but to be seen," let me start over. "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, thy good works, the good things you do, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And if we do whatever we do for the pastor's glory, and we ought to do good things for our pastor and so on, but we need to give God the glory for everything that we do. "But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall himself reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Public prayer. I have some qualms about public prayer. Not a bit of accusation towards any one person or anything like that. But sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, when I've been called on to pray, I think, "Oh, I've got to do that. I got to get this in. When we're praying for a specific thing, don't pray around the world. for people. Pray specifically for what you're praying for. And now I'm very get to the point and shut up. Some people are not that, but that's just my personality. Some of you say, no, you don't ever shut up. Okay. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, and this is talking about when you ought to expand your prayer to everything you ought to be praying about. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. So, first of all, let's serve God without recognition. If you do something good for God and nobody in this side of heaven knows about it, God does. And he's the one that counts. If you do it and everybody in here sees you do it and knows you're doing it, and you get puffed up because, oh, look at me compared to all these people around here and what I've done, you've got your reward. And that's as far as it's going to go. Secondly, we serve the Lord without recognition, but serve the Lord without fanfare. Without fanfare. It's no look at me service. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I've done. Look at what I'm planning to do. Look at what God's doing with me. You know, if it's all to bring recognition to yourself, you've got everything that's coming. And this service, it's all about attitude. Attitude. And we need to do an attitude adjustment about umpteen times a day to make sure we're on the right path, the right thoughts, and everything about it. John 20, verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter from the tomb, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She came to the other disciple and Simon Peter. Now, I think Simon Peter is a very humble man. We're going to see that later on. But Simon Peter was almost always named by name at things he did. And it was that other disciple. You see, who's writing these verses? John. He's not writing to say, hey, that was me with Peter. No, he said that other disciple. And people in the know knew who the other disciple was. Do not establish circumstances that put the limelight on you. Human nature, we got to fight this. We want to be in the center of things and have the spotlight on us. Or if not on the spotlight, we want to be in the light. Whoever's getting the spotlight, we want to be in it so people looking at that person see me also or see you. It's not about me. We all like recognition and praise, but that should not ever in any way be the motivating factor in our service for God, to bring service to ourselves or glory to ourselves or attention to ourselves. It ought to be to serve God. So serve him without fanfare. You're going to do something good. You may need to talk to the pastor. You may need to talk to another. But don't do it in such a way that you're in a crowded situation. Well, I'm planning on doing, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to. If there's too many eyes in it, you're not the other disciple. Third, serve as a faithful follower of the leader. Faithful follower of the leader. John 23, verse 3 says, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. John went with Peter. Now it ended up John went in first, then Peter came in. But again, it was that other disciple. It wasn't, hey man, I've been there. I've seen the empty. Even after he saw the empty tomb, they still doubted. It took a lot more than that. But John was a good follower. Matthew 9:35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So you want to make a mess out of your life? Just try to put yourself in that limelight. If God calls you, God will bless it and God will honor you for it. But if you're doing that to say, oh boy, everybody's going to see me. I'm up here teaching the adult Sunday school class. Well, so what? There's 15, 20 other men in here that can do the same thing and probably do a better job than what I'm doing. But the pastor asked me to do it, and I'm following his leadership. Amen. Luke 13:30. And behold, there are the last which shall be the first, and there are the first which shall be the last. This is not last in doing things. You know, this is not an excuse for me to go over here and sit down and cross my legs and say, well, I'm not going to get out and promote myself. No, it's not a license to go over there and sit down and check out of your service. It's talking about that position that you're trying to get. Like I compared my military service. I wanted recognition. I wanted to make it up. This is not last in doing things, but last in recognition. If you're part of a group, and boy, the rest of the group gets all kinds of recognition and pat on the back, and you're over here and you say, well, didn't anybody see me? I was there too. I was part of it. Why don't anybody? Well, maybe it's your attitude. Maybe God knows the little recognition in your life maybe will go too far. I don't know. All I can do is what I judge in my own life. Peter was at one point concerned about his position. Now we're going to find out some very humbling things about Peter before we close. But Peter at one point was concerned about his position. John 21:20. Then Peter turning about seeth the other disciple that Jesus loved following, which also leaned on Jesus' breast, the other disciple, at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what will this man do? Here, I am the leader. He's the follower. What's he going to do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, we know what happened to all the apostles. They very soon, and I'll talk about that in a minute. John lived to a ripe old age. and died probably in his 90s. Some have even said that he possibly could have been 100 years old when he died. I don't know. Verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Peter was worried about John outliving him, outproducing him. But let's look at Peter's end when he died. He died on a cross, hung upside down with his feet up and his head down, martyred because he said, I am not worthy to die the same death that my Savior died. I think he died with the same attitude that our Savior died. I think he proved himself to be well worthy of what God had called him to do. And the disciples went everywhere in the known world at that time. When the persecution came to the church, and the disciples went everywhere. John 20, verse 4. So they ran both together, Peter and the other disciple. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. I forgot to give you the next point. Okay. Peter hung upside down. My fourth point is this. Serve with haste. Do it now. Do it now. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. Now is the time now's the time to be saved. Now's the time to give your life to Christ in that 100% category. We are not our own. We are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We look at all the worldly things around us and think, man, I'm missing so much. I'm not going to go into that. I've talked about that before, but the world can eventually lose all of its attachment to you, all of its glory, all of its glamour becomes nothing but. And that ought to be what you're striving to be. We're his servants here. We're his. This body, everything about me, my finances, my house, my car, belongs to God. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored. In the day of salvation have I succored, or have I helped thee? Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And not only is it the day of salvation, I think that most of us, if not all of us in here, we've done that. That's past. But now, what are you doing since you've been saved? What's God doing in you, with you, for you? Now is the time to do it. Do it now. John and the others had a great impact on those who saw them. Who are you impacting? Who are you a good witness to? You have lost neighbors, lost relatives, lost co-workers. What do they see in you? Do they see a full-time Christian that's a part-time worker? And by part-time worker, I don't mean part-time working. I mean that you're a full-time Christian. Your job is to put food on the table. And you ought to do that as faithful as you are to the Lord. Yes, sir. have an impact on somebody. Stop and think, who do you have an impact on? Number five, serve by faith. Believe God. Serve by faith, believe God. John 20, verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. We're not going to be able to see the sepulchre. I've been there, I've been inside it. Jesus is not there. And I'm assuming that it's the correct sepulchre. Whether it is or not, I don't care. Because wherever his sepulchre was, it's empty. And of the 4,000 some religions in all the world, Christianity is the only one with an empty tomb. We don't go to the sepulchre to pay honor to Christ. He's not there. But when this happened, they went to the sepulchre and said he saw and believed. But this was before the upper room when Peter and John ran to the sepulchre. They saw the empty tomb, but they still didn't understand what the resurrection was and what it meant to all the world. So they went back and were in the upper room getting together. They were talking over about what they had learned, what the good times we had with Christ, and some of the bad times they had when persecution came and hatred and all the things that was cast at Christ and his disciples. But in the upper room, they thought about it. Remember when he said this? Remember when he said that? I wonder exactly what he meant by all that. They didn't understand that yet. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet to teach them. They had heard it, but all it was Greek to them. But in the upper room, the door closed. John 20, verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, and they went to their own home, that place of comfort and security. Jesus is gone. He's not with us anymore. They had fear coming in, not peace of heart and confidence yet, because they didn't have what you and I have right here, the scriptures. Going into their own home and hibernating and being kept. They were in their own home. They were not fighting the world. They weren't worrying about drunkenness. They weren't watching filthy stuff on TV, etc., etc., etc. They were in their own home, peace and comfort, and they thought we're protected. But that's not what God called them to do. We go back to Matthew 28:20 and John and Luke and Acts and 2 Timothy 2:2 and the Great Commission was given. So then comes the upper room, and he was sending them into battle for men's souls. Then, and that is still the command to us today, to go after the souls. If it weren't for some other people that were going to be saved, Jesus just as well had already come back. and save us out of this wretched mess of a country that we're in right now. I've got my doubts that America is going to get any better. I know 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we pray and confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven. I don't see America doing that. Now, it's not to say that God could not send a great countrywide revival, but I think we're right at the end. Be prepared. Do it now. In the upper room, Christ speaking to them. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That's what they were wanting. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. They didn't know it then. We don't know it now. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Boy, they were convinced after that. And there was no main disciple. From that point on, they were all other disciples. Let's look at the end of the apostles. All but John were martyred. We know Judas hung himself. Paul was martyred. All the other apostles except the apostle John was martyred for the cause of Christ. Here it was, the first century. Christ had just set up his church, and all of the ones that were his closest friends died at the hands of the enemy. I mean, humanly speaking, you think, where is this Jesus? Where is this Christianity? Where's it going? Where's it taking us? We've had a lot of history since then. But God had a purpose for that. That John was not martyred with the rest of them. He was that other disciple. And my question for you today is, what is God's purpose for you? What does he have in mind for you? Not your wife, not your husband, not your children, but you. Those of you sitting in here, what does God have in mind for you to be doing? And you do what you do, not to please me, not to please other people, but you do what God would have you to do, when he would have you to do it, how he would have you to do it. And if you rejoice in it, praise the Lord. But if it comes to something where rejoicing's hard to do, praise the Lord anyway. And rejoice in it, because you know you're in the center of God's will. Be that other disciple and do it now. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to teach this today. And Lord, it's really worked on my heart over the couple months I've been working on it. And I pray that it will touch hearts today. And may your will be done in each of our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. And we pray also for our pastor, that you would be with him. And God comfort his body, preparing for the round of chemo treatments. And I pray that it be 100% successful. In Jesus' name, amen.